We're out here in the Showcase studio, and it's not much is going on in Michigan Avenue. There's a little snow, but it's not anything that's significant.
Little Where Jude? Do I turn on my mic?
Is she good? Is she up? Okay, you're good.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I so hate to do a radio show with no mic.
It sounds somewhat echoey when that happens.
And we have Mike here producing us as well.
Yes. Perfect.
So I was thinking about this with the discussion about the turkey and everything, you know, and there's a lot of people that are starting to get ready. I'm sure there are people who have their tables set for Thanksgiving.
Already?
Yeah.
When have plates get dusty?
In 4 days? 5 days?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, you know, remember when we ran into those people who keep their good silverware in China out all
I know
the time
that was one of those
so
things
pretty.
That you the concept that you had not been familiar with. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was hilarious. So anyway, I was thinking about there must be a whole bunch of us, because I was one of them once, who, you know the list of the people who are coming. And I actually go to a Thanksgiving that no one's related to each other. So it's just friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gathering of friends that my friend Barbara graciously does every year. And if there is somebody that you really dread is going to be there, somebody that either last year you and that person tangled, somebody who maybe gets overserved on a regular basis, somebody, you know, especially with what's been going on in the world today. I know there are many people who would say we're not going to talk about that, and there are many people who think what's gone on in the world has ever so much to do with Thanksgiving. You know,
are you the host of this person?
I'm not a host.
No, if there's somebody at a Thanksgiving dinner that you know will be there and you dread seeing them, or you dread their behavior throughout the evening. Why couldn't they be uninvited?
No, I've never been hosted at a Thanksgiving where I think certainly if it's people from your family, there's sometimes absolutely no choice.
Right.
You know, they're
right.
Going to have to show up.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also people that, you know, you might be obligated to, like it's turned into a tradition. And
certainly at this time in our history, there are likely to be at some Thanksgiving tables widely divergent opinions on world matters.
Right.
And that could be really unpleasant.
Well, it's dangerous territory. So it'd be interesting to hear from some of you who are dreading a certain person or a certain child or a certain family member showing up, but it has to be done. And also I'll tag on to that whether you think it's meaningful to have a discussion about our turbulent world at Thanksgiving or dangerous. Our number is... 312-981-7200.
Okay.
And you don't think you...
No, I think this year at Thanksgiving and or Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever, that it's smart to just say at the outset, we're not talking politics. We're not discussing politics. Because as is evidenced by any Facebook post that is even marginally political, nobody's mind is changed. Nobody persuades anybody else to come over to their side. Nobody ever says, wow, that was, you know what? You're right. And so if it becomes that horrible on Facebook, how horrible will it get when the potential for throwing mashed potatoes is introduced into the mix?
Well, I don't know, because I think the world, I can't remember the poet who wrote this, but the world is too much with us was mm-hmm. the line in the poem. But the world is very much with us right now in a way that I guess since September 11th was, I can't remember it being so much with us in a long, long time.
I can't either, and I wonder if that has to do with our age or if that's something that is being perceived by people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, that you and I, and I know our contemporaries go, whoa, I have never seen it like this.
Well, I walked in today to the office and said, I don't know. I just don't know if we can pull this off.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's a really scary time.
I do, too.
But fear is my default. It used to be anger.
Well, and fear is exactly what is going to, rather than standing together, split us all apart.
Oh, I will stand with some people, but still be afraid.
Of what?
Of the randomness and the success, this incredible success ISIS has had at recruiting people.
Well, you and I talked about that. Well, you know what? Let's again repeat our number, 312-981-7200. We're not, are we going to, do you want to get into the background political stuff, or are we going to focus on Thanksgiving? Because if we get into the political stuff, we know how quickly it's going to degrade. Your call.
Well, I think we should just address whether or not we think there is somebody we don't want to. It's a two-part question.
Okay.
You can answer either part. There's
and you can call them
really...
Uncle Vince and Aunt Rhonda.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have to use your real name and just say who you really are dreading, sing at your Thanksgiving, and or if you think that politics should be completely off the table. That's it.
Kathy and Judy back.
We're discussing what kind of dread you might have about certain people showing up at your Thanksgiving and or whether or not you think it's good to just take a pass on current events as part of your conversation or whether or not to include it. And this is Paula. Hi, Paula.
Hi, how are you today, ladies?
All right. Fine. What's your Thanksgiving situation?
Well, I don't think my son likes to be at the adult table anymore. I have Thanksgiving dinner at my sister's, and my brother-in-law is very political. Anything that's said, he'll go into, like, you know, a whole conversation. I have a mother in a wheelchair with dementia who usually makes the wrong comment at the wrong time. A lot of finger pointing. So I usually just keep feeding my mother and is like, let's eat. Swallow your food. Aren't we glad we're all alive? No, it just goes on and on, you know, and then we're pointing fingers. And, you know, I say pass on anything politically related on Thanksgiving. Just be happy we're together.
Will your brother be responsive to your suggestion?
My brother-in-law. No, you know, and when something comes up at the table, I can see my sister-in-law, all of a sudden her head kind of goes down, you know, with that look like, oh, my God, it's going to start, you know. Please don't comment anyone.
She's married to the guy that does that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
And he's wonderful, you know, but, you know, and now my son's getting older, so he's at the adult table, and he just kind of looks at me and keeps eating, you know. But the thing is this holiday season, just be grateful we're together, we're alive, and that we have a meal together.
That's
all right.
True.
So is that something that you would consider doing this Thursday?
Asking them to pass on it?
Well, just say, now we're going to say grace, and then when grace is over, saying, I would like to declare this table, this day, a politics-free zone.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, my mother's getting, you know, we're bringing her out of the convalescent center for Thanksgiving, and I think the focus point should be on her. And I know the world is an uproar and everything's going on, but Thanksgiving is a time to talk, you know, to be grateful. Find things that you're grateful for. We all can find at least one thing.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Paula.
Okay. You have a great day, ladies.
Thank you.
Okay, and this is a genuine Rhonda. Hi, Rhonda.
I couldn't agree more with your first caller. I am going to Thanksgiving at a friend's house, and I know she differs with me politically. And, you know, you can have so many differing. Thanksgiving is not a time for discussing political differences. Mm-hmm. It's a time for thanks that we do live in America, that we grew up in America, where we have so many more rights and so many more privileges and so many more opportunities than 90%, well, 75% of the world.
Yeah, I'd go back to 90.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd go back to 90.
And I differ politically with the gal I'm going, I've known her for 35 years, and I'm going up to her house for Thanksgiving up there back in Chicago, and we differ politically, but politics has nothing to do with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an American holiday. We have to remember, what is Thanksgiving? It's when the Indians shared their food with the pilgrims. Hello.
With the immigrants.
With the immigrants or the pilgrims, whatever you want to call them, back in the 1600s. And it is about a sharing, a tradition that Catholics, Protestants, Jews all share on the same day. And you eat the same food, turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, green bean casserole.
Don't mess with that menu, baby. Don't mess with the menu.
Yeah, and it's an American holiday, and I think we all should just celebrate being grateful that we are living in America and we have enough to eat for the most part. And we live in America, for Pete's sakes. We don't get our heads chopped off by these crazy people. And it's an American holiday that everybody celebrates, and
okay.
I think that we should. Yeah, thank you, and I'm so glad you guys are going to be on for till noon.
Oh well, good.
Basketball or
just
whatever.
Look out, yeah, just look out the window at the snow and listen to Kathy and Judy.
I live down here by Pontiac. It's still snowing like crazy.
Okay. Oh, is it? Okay, thanks for the report.
Well,
thanks, Rhonda.
You guys are going to be on. Thank you.
Thank you. And this is Fred. Hey, Fred.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, ladies. This is, for many immigrants, the key American holiday. And I think it's wrong to block discussion about one topic we have right now, is whether we should let the Syrian refugees, at least some 10,000, come to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Many immigrants that I know, this is the main holiday that they celebrate because they view it as an immigrant's holiday. That's my comment. Have a great day, ladies. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, there's no way nowadays to have a conversation about immigration unless everybody in your house has the same opinions on it. That's one that's going to
implode.
Totally. Totally. Mashed potatoes on the walls.
If I ever did that, I think I'd have a heart attack.
One of the funniest conversations we ever had years ago, and it is on one of the Kathy and Judy CDs, was with, it was about heart attacks during sex. And one woman called and her husband, it had happened twice to her and her husband.
While in the act.
In the act, right. And I remember our commenting that she must be really good. But we wanted to talk about sex after a heart attack, because not necessarily that it occurred while you were having sex, but after you've had one, after you've had treatment or stents or angioplasty or surgery or whatever, and your doctor says you're good to go, how cautious
go?
Right. How cautious are we? How concerned are we about our heart rate? Do you do it with a blood pressure cuff on? Do you ask your partner to take your pulse every now and again? I can't imagine.
How's it going over in your chest cavity?
Right. 312-981-7200. You can text us or you can call us. One of our girlfriends from 269 said, had a heart attack at age 38. 20 years later, no, I just lost it. 20 years later, my wife and I are still having great sex. So great. Good for you. My husband suffered a heart attack during sex. Talk about being a little terrified picking back up after his recovery. And I wonder if that's our girlfriend. I wonder if I remember her name.
You don't.
I do. Her name was Pat. And that was, we should go back and find that on one of the, CDs, but it was hilarious. Let's see. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. I had a heart attack and my husband and I have sex almost every day. Monday, we almost had sex. Tuesday, we almost had sex. Also on Thursday and Friday. So I can't imagine that if you weren't having much sex before, that you're going to be having much afterwards. I mean, why tempt fate? And heaven knows that for many couples, aging also brings with it a decrease in sex.
Yeah.
So I just can't imagine
not being nervous. Now, at 38, you know, you might feel, well, I'm not quitting this. I've got my whole I've got my whole life ahead of me. But at 78 or something, you might feel why tempt it
right.
again.
Right.
You know, I don't wanna you know, what are they gonna say in the Tribune obituary?
He
died of exertion.
Oh, died peacefully. No, you can't say that. You would hope. Died peacefully. Surrounded by
his wife.
Or lying on top of. Yes. His loving family.
He died the way any real man would like to die.
I think it's interesting that we're always assuming that it's the man who would have had the heart attack.
And women have more heart attacks than
men do. Right.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. 3 years ago, my wife was in a car wreck and crushed her ankle. 1 week later, I had quadruple bypass surgery. Two weeks later, the doc said, okay, and we've been doing it ever since.
Mm.
So, you know, apparently it doesn't stop a lot of people.
But
if you can relate,
describing the feelings of that first encounter.
There seems to be a reluctance for people to call.
And tell their feelings to us.
Well,
we're nice.
Vince and Rhonda are very common names that are used by people when they don't want their real names to be used. So you could certainly do that if you have any experience in this arena. 312-981-7200. You can call us or text us. 708 texts and says, for me, if I were to die, I would like to die having sex. That would be the ultimate end of my life. That's interesting. I mean, yeah. Well,
I know, but the only thing is that everyone said, well, oh my God, he was so healthy. He was at the gym in the morning. What happened? Well, you just have to say he had a heart attack, right? Isn't that what you die of?
You don't die of sex. You die of the heart attack.
Right.
You don't necessarily have to say what the circumstances were. Girlfriend from 815 says, it's not aging that slows down sex. It's marriage. We'll be back to your calls.
There's
right
some
after
wisdom
this.
Out there.
Kathy and Judy back, and we're talking amongst ourselves because there seems to be some concern for people to call. And the topic is sex after a heart attack, because most doctors will say after your surgery heals or after whatever you had done to your heart after your heart attack, there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to go back and have sex.
You know, they used to say when you had a baby, I wonder if it's the same amount of time now that
right.
you had to wait 6 weeks.
Right.
I wonder if someone who's had a baby recently would
if they're, what their doctor
it,
told them.
Yeah.
Why would, I don't think that would
six
be any
weeks.
Different because anatomy remains about the same. And
yeah, but, you know, people aren't pampered the same way they used to be pampered. You used to stay in the hospital when you had a baby. Now they butt you out in, you know, 36 hours.
Right. But even still, that's not changing your your physical condition that's occurred because a baby came through there.
That place. Here's one. My wife's heart is very healthy, but I still have to check her pulse during sex just to make sure she's still alive.
And 847 says, my doctor had a sense of humor. I asked if I could have sex after my heart attack, and he said, yeah, but only with your wife. I don't want you to get too excited.
And then there was another one that said, we used to say, he came and went at the same time.
My father died at 40 when I was 10 years old. That left a mark on me. So now that my husband had a heart attack at 67 with a quadruple bypass, I just can't. Sometimes heart attack.
She was waiting for that excuse.
Yeah, right. Thank God he had a heart attack. Sometimes heart attack meds can cause erectile dysfunction issues. I know this firsthand after my husband had several heart attacks.
Okay, there's Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, here's the devastation behind that. It's all fun and games, and it sounds like it's nirvana, but you know what? When the one person has a heart attack, the other person is devastated.
How are you tying that in?
I'm saying a man and a woman having sex, and a man has a heart attack.
Mm-hmm. During sex.
During sex.
Oh, okay, you're back to the during sex, right?
The woman is devastated.
Well, would she be more devastated if it happened during sex than if it happened while they were cooking dinner?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, obviously there was physical engagement. And they were, you know, they were going at it, doing it, having a wonderful time. And the guilt that she has to feel, if she wasn't so good, he wouldn't have died.
All right. What's your connection to this?
That's a very narcissistic reaction.
Right. Yeah.
No, but it could be either way.
Do you know anybody to whom that has happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what are their names?
She's devastated.
Okay. She doesn't.
Is this your world?
I'm a funeral director.
You're a film writer?
Funeral director.
Oh,
so did the guy die?
Yes.
Oh, well, of course. Yes. Well, yeah, you...
You know,
we're talking about surviving.
No, okay, but he's saying... You're saying that the woman put, quote-unquote, like, guilt on...
Whichever person that survives...
Right.
Whether it's a woman having a heart attack or a man having a heart attack, in the middle of sex, they're left over, and they're saying to themselves, look what I did to the person I was loving.
Okay, so what do you do? What do you say as a funeral director to somebody? Does that come up when you're having the conversation about which coffin they want?
No. I mean, it's just overall counseling of trying to understand that, you know, you're together. You're one. And you were doing what comes natural. You were doing which was loving and caring, and there shouldn't be any guilt or feeling involved with that. You
right.
were together.
But there is what you're saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, because the devastation to the partner, whichever one is left, whether it's man or woman,
right.
is devastating.
What was
you
the...
Know, if I,
go ahead.
If I wasn't so good, they wouldn't have died.
I'm back with Judy on the narcissism on that.
Yeah.
That it doesn't have to do with how good the partner is, but how bad the heart is.
I mean, and I also think it's very common for a lot of us, man or woman, to take on guilt. You know, where did I go wrong? Guilt. What did I do?
Exactly.
It's a very human thing to do. But
you know, I'm not looking at it from narcissism. I'm looking at it from strictly psychological level.
Okay.
And my God, you know. Look what I did to him or her, whatever the case might be. If we weren't doing this, then he wouldn't have died or she wouldn't have died.
Right.
I knew I should have had a headache that night.
That's right. I should have danced all night. You know?
There was a movie. Was it Private Benjamin? I think it was Private Benjamin that her husband died during sex.
That's right. Goldie Hawn.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't recall.
Okay. All right, Larry, thank you.
But I'm just saying it's a devastating thing when one partner dies.
During sex. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't imagine.
Okay, wait, can't let you go without a good funeral director joke.
Okay.
Let's hear it, Larry.
Oh, all right.
At the convention. What's the joke at the convention?
No, I'd rather be seen than viewed.
What's the next joke?
No, we wanted a joke.
There are no jokes, ladies.
Oh, come on. Really?
No, There are no funeral. There are no funeral director jokes.
I challenge. We have. You are not the only funeral director who listens to this show.
Did you watch 6 Feet Under?
Of course.
Okay.
Because there was some great, you know, humor in that.
Well, yeah, but there was a lot of it was black humor. Mm-hmm. I'm saying dark humor.
Right.
You know, it was a very dark series. But what you saw exactly is what takes place.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, the corporate takeover of the funeral industry is horrendous. It's destroying family businesses.
That and every other arena.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Larry, thank you for the call.
Have a good Thanksgiving, ladies.
Thank you. 312-981-7200 is our number. We were talking about sex after a heart attack, but sort of veered off on a detour. Judy asked, do they still say 6 weeks after a vaginal birth to have sex? Hey, Christy.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
How recently have you had a baby?
Well, I had one 17 months ago.
Oh.
I had one 3 years ago, 5 years ago, and I'm about to have one in the next couple of weeks.
Are you a Duggar?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I do have a lot of kids. And yes, it is still 6 weeks after a vaginal or 8 weeks after a C-section.
Oh, even longer for a C-section.
Well, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I'm curious, Christy. Here's another Kathy and Judy detour. There are not a lot of families who have more than two children now. That seems to be the standard. And you're coming up on four.
I'm coming up on five, actually.
Coming up on five.
Year-old.
From what to what? How old is your oldest kid?
My oldest is 10. He's from my first marriage. And then met my current husband, and we had one. We have a five-year-old, three-year-old, 17-month-old, and then about to have a new one anytime now.
Okay. Is that a religious-based decision?
Not necessarily. I come from a big family. Well, most of my grandparents and their siblings, and then my mom, you know, I'm one of four, my mom's one of five.
Right.
So we just generally come from a big family. I've always wanted a lot of kids, and I just adore them. So I am a Christian, but that is not playing into our decisions and having kids.
Okay, because, I mean, there are plenty of Christians who only have two kids, and then there's, you know, and then the opposite is sort of the quiverful movement.
No, we're absolutely not there.
You're not quiverful yet.
We are done. My husband is getting snipped after this one.
Okay.
We are done.
So you like kids, but you're almost over it.
I am. Well, with four in 5 years,
right.
It's a lot of work.
That's
I'm a stay-at-home
yeah.
mom, and these, you know, I love them to pieces, but by the end of most days, I am just spent. And
right.
Going through pregnancy with little ones.
Yeah.
And
like,
the laundry.
I can't
oh, my God. I can't imagine the laundry.
I can't imagine.
Oh,
well, Christy, happy Labor Day.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I hope it's not today.
Okay, me too. Thanks, Christy.
Right, thanks, ladies.
312-981-7200. On the text line, 630 says, not the exact circumstance you're asking about, but I worked on an ambulance service, had at least two calls where a male had a fatal heart attack during sex, and the wife tried to dress him before we got there. No, we were just sitting here talking. Oh, gosh.
He likes to watch TV with his hands on.
My friend's dad died from a heart attack after sex and after taking a male enhancement drug. And it was sex with an evil stepmom. No backstory there. I'm a labor and delivery nurse. We still advise patients to have nothing in the vagina for 6 weeks after delivery. Whether they take that advice is another thing. So this is Lynn, and she's a cardiac nurse. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I'm a former cardiac rehab nurse.
Okay.
And when the patient was in the hospital and as they were being put through the first phase of cardiac rehab, we would have the monitors on them, and they would go up and down one flight of stairs. And if there were no arrhythmias or obvious heart irregularities on the monitor, the physician would tell them that's the same amount of energy a person would expend during sexual relations. So if they could do that up and down one flight of stairs without any problems, they were, so to say, good to go.
Wow, that's but one flight like of stairs.
It seems like there's kind of a range, though, of the amount of intensity and activity and duration in people's sex lives.
Well, one flight of stairs doesn't seem very energetic.
Well, after a heart attack, it's, I think, well, again, enough to engage. That was scientific or research
okay,
evidence.
Okay, right, so, right. Very interesting.
I enjoy that you're addressing the topic.
We got a million of them, Lynn. Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is our number, and we'll be back with more of your calls about sex after a heart attack or after having a baby.
Okay, we have one quick heart attack story.
Well, actually, we may have two.
Okay, you
we'll
pick,
start with
you pick.
Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
My sister's friend, her late husband, she was a bartender at Bennigan's, and the firefighters who showed up, they knew exactly who she was because that's where they used to hang out at. He did not make it. Well, he was making it, but he ended up having the cart stop.
Okay.
She had to quit her job. She couldn't look them firefighters in the eye.
Was she the one with whom he was having the heart attack?
Yeah. It was in the middle. They were in the middle of fornication, and he dropped dead. And
okay.
She called the fire. You know, she called 911, and firefighters showed up, and he was bone, butt naked and
bonehead.
Trying to come up and like, oh, hi, how you doing? And
she
no,
quit.
We're not doing too well today.
Right. No, but we're not doing as badly as he's doing.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Tom. And this is quickly, this is Chris, also with a heart attack story.
Yes. Back in my early teens, my father, who divorced my mother, had dated a girl for about 10 years after that, and he died at the age of 52. It came out a little bit later that they had just finished having sex. She took a nap. He went and sat on the couch to watch TV. When she woke up, he was slumped over dead. And it took about a year for her to tell us the exact circumstances because, you know, we didn't know. We just know that we got the call from the hospital. And for at least 10 years after that, she was struggling with the whole, did she cause it
the
or
guilt
was
thing.
The other factor? Yeah, the guilt
right.
thing. And yeah,
wow.
She didn't have a boyfriend for 10 years after. Then she kind of like drifted away from the family. We never heard from her again. But it was, now granted, at 52, we tried to tell her he had a bad diet, smoked like a chimney, didn't exercise. So there were other factors.
But she
right.
took on all the guilt.
She couldn't shake it. She could not shake the fact that it was a direct result of their last interlude or encounter.
Right. Which doesn't seem like a terrible way to go. Anyway, Chris, thank you for the call. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com.
Ooh, I smell. Can't you smell that smell?
Can't you smell that smell?
Okay.
Is
Who's
it that smell,
that?
Judy, or another smell?
It's a bad smell. Well, this is what happened. I was having lunch with some girlfriends this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the first time I've gone out for lunch probably since I've been retired.
Really? I thought you routinely did that.
No, I'm not. I don't.
Huh. Mary Schmeek wrote a column this week about that she's not a lunch person.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
of course, I don't get asked that often, and I had a good time.
Okay.
But so anyway, one of the women was saying, okay, you guys weigh in on this. She said, we all live in condos in the same kind of big complex. And so there are shared halls. And one of the women said, when you walk in the front door of our condo, it smells like an East Side tenement. She said, Rhonda has clearly discovered onions as a new featured item
for cooking
in her recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, it lasts for almost 2.5 days.
I agree.
The smell of this.
I agree because about one of the few things I ever cook, but I do it in the wintertime, is butternut squash soup. And you start, I use leeks rather than onions, but
so
you start sautéing leeks and carrots and celery. And I walk in the house the next day and go, smells like somebody was cooking leeks in here. Yeah, it's a pretty persistent smell.
So she was saying, the girl who was talking about this, she said, I'm afraid to say something to her because she said, I don't want her to hate me. She,
well, you have
know,
a communal living
house.
Situation.
I know.
You can't control what somebody else cooks. Would she say something to somebody?
She was considering it. We were just trying to figure out what she should say. It never occurred to us that she would
not
say
to.
Something. Yeah, you think you don't say anything?
She's cooking it in her own unit, in her own condominium.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes some of the fragrance gets out into the hallway.
Always, when she uses onions.
Okay, you don't live in the hallway. You live in your condo. So if you step out in the hallway briefly to get in or out,
but
it smells like onions, or it smells like curry, or it smells like whatever somebody's been cooking.
I know, but if you have friends coming over or something like that, and they walk in the front door and they go, oh, that's a blast. I don't know.
All right. Well, we're obviously in different places on it.
Here's a texter who says, I have the same problem. Get Febreze and spray the foyer. No one knows I do that.
Hmm.
Well, I could get Fresh Wave and just walk
around. Is it you? I think you just gave yourself away.
It's not me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God. You think you shouldn't say anything?
Yeah, I think you should. If you live in a communal living situation, if you live in an apartment building, if you live in a condo where you share common areas or where your doors come out to a hallway or a common area, what people cook in their units is bound to have some effect on that common area. And unless somebody's cooking dead bodies or something like that, and of course we all know what that smells like, I don't think that you have any call or your girlfriend has any call to make a comment about what somebody cooks or how it smells in the hallway. Well,
that wasn't even an option on our list.
I mean, not saying anything. Right.
No.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
Hi. Okay, I grew up in a 6 flat. The lady upstairs was Italian. The hallway most of the time smelled like garlic or onion.
Right.
The lady downstairs cooked a lot of cabbage. And once in a while, we got chocolate cake, you know, so you take the good with the bad. But you can't tell someone you can't cook anymore. It's just, you know, or you can't cook onions when I'm having company. It's, you know, too bad.
Agreed. Yeah. I actually like to walk into a building. Particularly apartment building, if you're walking down the hallway, mm-hmm. and smell what people are having for dinner.
Yeah, because I would say 90% of the time it smells good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It gives you an appetite, you know, come on.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
Here's a text. Oh, my God, how could you even think to say something? I must be on somebody else's railroad track. I mean, and my girlfriend's, too. I don't know.
This is Jim. Hi, Jim.
Yeah.
Hello, ladies. How are you today?
All right, thanks. What's up?
Well, I'll tell you I've been gone from the police department about 30 years now. But when I got divorced back in the 80s, I bought a condo. And my across-the-way neighbor, who I had never met at that time, was very heavily into smoking marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And it was every night. And unfortunately for me, I happen to have an allergy to the THC. Well, I came home from work one night, and I was in full uniform. I had never met this guy before. Walked in, and he happened to be walking out of his apartment, and he saw me in uniform, and I thought he was just about going to, you know, wet his pants. And he said, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I was like, hey, dude, relax. You know, I'm not here for anything other than to get to my apartment. And, you know, believe it should be legal and all the rest of this stuff. And boy, this poor kid, I literally thought he was going to die right there in the hallway because of me walking in uniform.
And you could smell it in the hallway.
Oh, the whole condo could smell it. Probably three floors could smell it.
Okay.
And
yeah.
This poor kid thought he was on his way to jail. But maybe you shouldn't do so much in the house because we can all smell it.
Right.
But he went out on the porch from then on, and there was no more problem. So, I don't know. I kind of agree with you. You should be able to do whatever you want in your own apartment. But if it's affecting other people, somebody maybe has to say something.
For marijuana or for onions?
For anything. I mean, if it's that bad that you could smell it in your apartment.
And that's true.
Too much.
She said she could.
Okay.
Maybe she's using too much.
All right. Well, thank you, Officer Jim.
All right. You guys take care.
Okay. And this is Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi.
His neighbors down the hall. And when you would approach their place, you would have to hold your breath until you got past their door, because it smells like they were cooking, boiling rotting garbage. I don't know what they were cooking, but it was clearly coming from their place, because when they moved out, the smell stopped.
Wow.
And, Fresh Wave didn't do it, and their place was right across from a storage unit, and I thought something had died and was rotting in the storage unit, because food couldn't smell like that. No, it was like they were boiling, rotting garbage. It was, I don't know what they were cooking.
But nobody said anything.
No, well, for one thing, there was a language barrier.
Oh, okay.
And we figured it was probably an ethnic thing. We didn't want to offend them.
Right. Because I know somebody who lives up on the northwest side in a bungalow neighborhood, and so they're separate homes. But the neighbors, again, it was an ethnic kind of food that was being cooked. But sometimes the smell of fish is so strong that it's out around the home.
Yeah.
If you walk by on the sidewalk,
right,
you can't go
up to somebody's door and say, stop cooking fish because
no.
I don't like the smell.
No,
right.
But it was, it was really, and it took us a while to figure out, that's got to be
something they're cooking. Interesting. All right, Susan, thank you.
And
did we lose Susan? All right, thank you. Let's take a little bit of a break. Our number is 312-981-7200, and we'll be back with your calls and your texts.
Chubby and Judy back. talking about whether or not you can address a neighbor's fumes from their cooking when they're out in the communal hallway, or you have to just endure it because you're in a common area. My friend was certainly trying to figure out how to plan to address it, but most of you seem to feel that you have to let it be. So here's a texter who says, I had a neighbor home who always smelled of curry. It would absorb into my clothes every time I would visit for a while. I just never got accustomed to that smell. Yeah, curry is a pretty pungent one. And this is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Sharon.
Okay. All right, we'll put Sharon on hold.
And this is Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Good morning. How are you?
All right,
okay.
Thanks.
No, this is Gail.
I know. That's what we said. Hey, Gail.
Hi. I heard, hey, Sharon, are you there?
No, just Gail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I am a realtor, and I can tell you the smell in the communal area affects even sales at condos where clients won't even walk down a hallway to go look at
it. I believe that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And
so what does your son, the realtor, do if he's trying to sell a unit in a building?
No, I am the realtor.
Oh, you're the realtor. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you do?
It depends. It depends if I'm on the buying side or the selling side.
Okay, you're on the selling side.
If I'm on the selling side, I have posted in the common areas. They usually will have a bulletin board saying, who I am and that this unit is for sale. And we've had comments on our feedback that certain odors are affecting the saleability of the property. I've also purchased...
Has it changed people's behavior one whit?
Sometimes it really does. Sometimes those owners have to see, not from their realtor, but from other ones, that that odor or odors emitting through the either their condo or from others are making their property hard to sell. I've even gone out as far as buying, there's certain odor-eating fans that I have purchased for my clients. Recently, I did one for a client who smoked constantly in their home. First 3 days, we could not get fires to even walk through the house.
I'll bet.
After 3 days, I called those agents back, and I said, can you do me a favor? Can you bring your clients back? I'm doing a test. I have this new fan, and I want to see if their impression is still the same. We actually sold that house to the second client that walked in who wouldn't even get past the living room.
If you were if you were selling a unit in a community building, in a condo or an apart, whatever, would you consider, if you had a showing, would you consider going over there before everybody arrived and blasting Fresh Wave in the hallway?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Or even in some of the buildings, they have the cute little ledges outside somebody's door.
Okay.
And I've put either the Fresh Wave or the Febreze container directly in
right
front
there.
Of.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but it does. It really affects the property value and what's going on in that building.
Yeah, interesting. Well, Gail, thanks for the call.
Thank you. You have a wonderful afternoon. Stay safe.
I expect we will. This is Teresa. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, girls. Okay, so I was approached with my cooking when I lived in the city. We were in a six-unit condo building, and I loved using my crock pot because my husband and I worked. We'd come home, the smell of it, I was like, oh, my God, this is heaven. Well, the guys across the hall from me, after the third time of them saying, God, Teresa, what are you cooking? And then the neighbors upstairs said, oh, are you inviting us for dinner? And it happened more than a few times. I said to my husband, I go, I think they're throwing us a hint that our food in the hallway smell is bothering them. So I think you should definitely say something to the lady with the onions, but in a nice way, and kind of go, God, what are you cooking today? And say it like a few times, because I didn't know that the smell was bothering everybody else in my building.
Well, what did you do? Did you no longer use your
crock pot? Oh, my gosh, no way. So I would keep the window cracked open in the kitchen after that, like about, you know, an inch. Even in winter, I would do it because we didn't pay for our heating in that building anyway. And so I probably could have cracked it wide open, but I did keep it cracked open, and that made a difference. So I was definitely more aware of the fact that my smell was not pleasing to everybody. So I think you could say something to that lady in a nice way, you know?
I think delivery's everything.
Yeah.
And unless she's somebody that you run into in the hallway, I mean, you certainly can't go over and knock on her, you know, door and say, hey, what's for dinner? Boy, dinner smells good, but...
No, I guess you can't do it that way. That'd be a little awkward.
My friend has lived across from this woman for 8 years, and she says this has just started. It's like she got the onion cookbook.
Oh, my God.
And so, you know, she's having a good time.
Girls, if you get that Fresh Wave and just put it in a little bag and make it really cute... I bet that won't offend her and hang it on her doorknob, you know?
Oh, Jesus. That's so passive-aggressive.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I don't know. It could work. And then she might not even know that that is bothering anybody, you know? Like, I had no idea either. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and as I
don't
say,
think she knows.
It may not be bothering everybody. There may be other people that walk in and think, oh,
divine.
Oh, that smells great. Well, you know, what's for dinner, as your friend said. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for the call. Our number is 312-981-7200, and you can text as well.
I got an idea. You'll be my girlfriend. I'll treat you good.
It's kind of less material.
I don't think so.
Anybody who listens to our show with any regularity knows that I am a movie freak. I see I seldom have a weekend that I don't see a movie. So if somebody says, have you seen X? My answer is usually yes, because I love that. I just love movies. And in fact, last weekend I saw two. If you have an opportunity to see either Spotlight or Brooklyn, go, because they're both spectacular. A week or so, maybe 10 days ago, I saw a movie called Miss You Already. And it's Drew Barrymore and Toni Collette about two women who have been friends since they were little. And it's one of those girlfriend movies where one of them gets sick and dies. Right. I'm not giving anything away.
Well, the title gives it away.
Right, Miss You Already. I nearly left because one of the characters was so self-absorbed and so selfish and so icky that I didn't care if she died. In fact, I was kind of looking at my watch thinking, all right, when is she going to get stricken? And I just was trying to think of girlfriend movies that were great. And I can't think of any. I mean, there's one now coming up called Carol, which, again, is a romance between two women.
And wasn't Beaches with Bette Midler and
Barbara Hershey?
Hershey.
Again. Again, it involved one of them dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think, and maybe some of you can think of movies about
Thelma and Louise.
They both died. Oops, spoiler alert.
Well, 20 years ago, spoiler alert, not now.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. What girlfriend movie did you just love? And all right, if it involved dying, it's hard to find ones that don't. All right, this is Dave. This is Dave with his favorite girlfriend movie. Yes, Dave. Hi, Dave.
Did I remember, but it was Mamma Mia.
Okay, nobody died in that, right?
Right, yeah, I mean, I got dragged to it, but I guess it's just interesting that I guess I kind of enjoyed the movie.
Because her girlfriends from earlier in her life came to the wedding of her daughter, right?
Yes.
As I recall. And while she
and it actually was, it turned out to be like a sing-along one, too.
Yeah, very
they
much.
They had the bottom of it. They had the words going across. So
right.
The teleprompter. And,
exactly.
I guess it was better than going to getting stuck onto a chick like in her turn of picking the film. So.
Okay.
Right. Oh, and Bridesmaids.
Thank you, Dave. Oh, right. Bridesmaids was a girlfriend movie.
Right.
Right. But, the Kristen Wiig character in that was so unlikable. She was, well, here, Dave, another Dave. Hi, David.
Yeah. Hey, how are you? And let me say, first of all, I don't usually like any girl movies.
Okay.
So just, my masculinity is intact. But Fried Green Tomatoes, I really liked. And I thought that was a good movie.
I just watched that again about 2 weeks ago. It showed up on one of my many movie channels. And Dave, did you think that was I'm trying to think of how to put this. I mean, my sense of that was always that they were lovers.
Well, I think they sort of, it was a head fake. Either they were or they weren't because the times were different. And, you know, there was obviously some attraction, but maybe, you know, they were just close friends because they thought that was the right thing to be. That's
well, they certainly loved each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They certainly loved each other. But, yeah, Fried Green Tomatoes, that's a good one. Thank you. Yeah. All right, Judy, do you think they were lovers?
I always thought it was left kind of murky.
Okay.
So that you'd walk out and say,
what was the deal there? Right.
Yeah.
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 Again, one of them dies. That's like sort of this theme. Here's Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hi, good morning. Or good afternoon. 9 to 5.
Oh, so, doesn't somebody die in that, but it's not one of the girlfriends?
No, I don't think so. But they turn the tables on the boss.
Right.
Really cute movie.
Right. Dolly.
Happy holidays to you all. Have
well,
a nice
thank
day.
You very, thank you very much. Merry Christmas. This is Sharon, we're talking about girlfriend movies and girlfriend movies that you loved, and this is Sharon. Hi.
Hi. There was the Joy Luck Club where the mother did die of the older group of friends, but then the daughters, you know, were the younger group, the two groups.
Okay.
There.
So it's a very female-centric movie.
Right, and then the sisterhood, it's not a favorite, but it was entertaining, the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pan. That's like a teen movie.
Oh, right. This is with the blue jeans that they all wear.
Right. They go to Europe, right, they go to Greece and all that.
Right, okay, sweet one as well. Thank you.
Okay.
It's interesting the themes that run through these women's movies. I mean, I'm thinking about the movie that Laura is citing. Hi, Laura.
Hi. You know what I just recently watched? There's two. First of all, the first Wives Club, even though that's kind of revenge.
I know. They were so awful. Who's in that? Goldie Hawn, Bette Midler. Who was the...
And, oh, God,
who was the other one?
You know, she's the one that's in all of the, Jill, no. My mind's going blank. Hold on, actually. You know what?
Somebody could look it up on IMDb. First Wives Club,
and then
Bette Midler,
the other one,
Goldie Hawn, and
that other one.
Yeah.
She's in, oh my God, and it's like, all right. And the other one was The Secret Life of Bees.
Okay.
You know what? I hadn't either, and I watched it, and it was kind of sad, but her and her kind of like housekeeper back in the day it was really kind of about their lives and their relationship, so that was also a good one.
Okay. Would you watch it again?
Definitely.
Okay. All right, great. Some great ones here that have completely escaped me. This is Al, and you know what I love? That so many of these calls are from guys.
A lot of them.
Yeah. Hi, Al. What girlfriend movie can you...
Morning. Steel Magnolias.
Oh, but again. Again, the theme.
I didn't see it.
Oh.
Excerpts of it.
Somebody
it
dies.
Movie.
Right. But yeah, Steel Magnolias certainly is about female friendships. Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome.
312-981-7 What?
Wouldn't you say that the show Girls is about female friendships and relationships?
My sense is that I don't watch it. My sense is that they're all friends, but it's more about who they're sleeping with. No?
I watched first season.
Okay.
And Sex and the City
also. Very much. Yeah, very much. They always got together. Yeah. All right, 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Hey, you, I could be a
girlfriend. We're talking about girlfriend movies, and Kathy found out who the third one was in First Wives Club.
It was Diane Keaton, along with Goldie Hawn and Bette Midler. And several of our girlfriends texted us with that, so thank you very much. 312-981-7200. We're just talking just sort of in general about girlfriend movies. I saw the most recent one, which is Miss You Already. Didn't like it at all. Toni Collette's character was such a horrible, selfish human being that it was difficult to care. And you also wondered how somebody as sweet as Drew Barrymore's character could be involved in a friendship like that for any length of time. So we're just talking to you about movies that you think that you've loved about girlfriends. And this is Angela. Hey, Angela.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, maybe we can redeem Toni Collette.
Okay.
One of my favorites is Muriel's Wedding.
Remind me what the theme of that was.
She is anxious to get married. She's kind of she gained about 40 pounds.
She was dumpy, right? Right.
And she is set up with an Olympic swimmer because he needs to be married for some type of citizenship.
Okay.
I can't remember, but it's filled with ABBA music, and she and her girlfriend are very, very close until she gets caught up in this marriage with this fake romance,
right?
Yes. And, of course, her friend does get cancer.
I was going to say, somebody's got to die, right?
But she doesn't die, and the last scene where she's more or less going to back to her friend, and they're just going to try and make the most of her situation, and she has divorced the Olympic swimmer, and
okay.
It just ends. It's just kind of a lighthearted movie, but there
except
are some
for the dying part.
Well, and her mother dies too, but
okay, there you go. Two plot points.
But if you haven't seen Muriel's Wedding.
I have. I just, I don't have a...
It's been a while.
Yeah, I don't have a really clear memory of it. Thanks, Angela.
You're welcome.
A texter from 630 reminds us of The Turning Point. Anne Bancroft and Shirley MacLaine as aging ballerinas.
Oh, right.
And who I'm not sure if there ever had been a strong friendship because they were sort of competitive, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
As I recall.
Yep, they were.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. It's interesting. This is Mike, another guy with a great girlfriend movie.
Yeah, this one is called Cemetery Club. It starred Diane Ladd, Ellen Burstyn, Olympia Dukakis, and it also had Lainey Kazan in it. And what it is the husbands die, and the women, you know, form the cemetery club, and it's how they go on without their husbands. And also Danny Aiello's in there, too. It was a really good movie.
He was a husband who didn't die yet?
No, he actually doesn't know them. What ends up happening is him and Ellen Burstyn, they're visiting their spouses in the cemetery.
Ah.
And then that's how they become, she starts dating them. And then the other women are kind of upset because she's moving on.
Right.
And some of the other women are stuck, except for Diane Ladd's character. She went the opposite way. She just started dating anybody in it because she couldn't be without a man. She didn't know how to function.
Okay.
And then Lainey Kazan just marries, and she has this big Romanesque wedding. It's hilarious. It's funny. It's sad. It hits all the emotions.
Cemetery Club. I've never heard of it. And those are four considerable names.
Yes, it's a good. It's a good.
Mike,
good
was that a movie in general release, or was it a Netflix movie or an HBO movie?
No, it was a movie in general release.
It was. Okay.
In fact, I have the VHS tape because I liked it so much. So it was back in the I would say early 90s.
Okay.
You know, when Olympia Dukakis was really, you know, out there. Cause
cranking.
I think she was coming off of Moonstruck.
Right. That was big for her. All right. Thank you.
And then the TV show I like is Gilmore Girls. I still like that.
It's a mom and a daughter.
Mom and a daughter, right.
Well, they still could be girlfriends, though.
Okay.
Anyway.
Not the healthiest of relationships, but yeah.
Mike, we have strong feelings
on
that.
We love that you're one of the guys that called on this. Thank you. Look at another guy, Steven. Hi,
what's
Steven.
Up, ladies?
Hi. What girlfriend movie can you recommend?
Well, first of all, I just think it's hysterical that it's all dudes calling in about Maven, for starters.
I do, too.
And in honor of that odyssey, I would like to submit The Broken Hearts Club, which is a general release film about four girlfriends, but it's actually four gay men who are girlfriends. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. It's guys, but they're gay, and it's like they're girlfriends.
You got it. And then we forget.
Wait a minute. Stephen, before you go on, who are the four guys?
The only one that I know is Dean Cain because he's the hottest one.
Oh, sure. Former Superman.
There you go.
Right. Okay.
But I know the topic is movies, but I think we would be remiss if we did not acknowledge the most iconic TV girlfriends of all time, our beloved Golden Girls.
Oh, Golden Girls.
Oh,
and as
perfect.
Judy pointed out, Sex and the City.
Absolutely.
Correct. Absolutely. All right. Great. Thank you, Stephen.
Love you. Bye.
Okay. Love you too. Bye. And again, Glenn. Hi, Glenn.
Hello.
Hello, Glenn. Let's hear your favorite girlfriend movie.
You know, I love Gentlemen Prefer Blondes with Jane Russell and Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm. Help us out how that's a girlfriend movie.
They are.
Because they're trying to get husbands.
They are best friends who will do anything for each other, and it's pretty rare in a movie from the 50s that the whole movie is about these two girlfriends and how loyal they are to each other.
Oh, you know what? Gosh, I never thought of it that way, but yeah.
And then there's another one with Marilyn Monroe where she needs glasses, but she can't. She won't put them on, and Lauren Bacall is in it. And
I know that's How to Marry a Millionaire.
Right, it's exactly
okay,
that.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Glenn.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a woman, Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Thanks for waiting.
No problem. Do you want the one where neither of the girlfriends dies or gets sick, or the one where they both die?
Oh, wow. Give us both.
Okay. The one where they both die is Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn in Death Becomes Her.
Oh. That was hilarious, yes.
It was hilarious.
Yes.
And then the one where neither one gets sick or dies is The Truth About Cats and Dogs with Uma Thurman and Janine Garofalo.
Don't know
I
it.
I never saw that, but
I think that
was a book. I don't know. Okay, The Truth About Cats and Dogs.
But it was about girlfriends.
It's about, Janine is kind of the plain one, and she sees Uma, who is so exotic. And they actually become, I guess they're neighbors, and they become friends. And Janine meets a handsome British guy that she takes to, but she's afraid that he won't like her. So she asks Uma to pretend that she is her. And, of course, he falls in love with, quote-unquote, her.
What's the, that's a play on, what's the one about the guy that wrote the love letters with the big nose?
Nicholas Sparks?
The traditional
Bergerac.
Cyrano, right.
Oh, Cyrano
Bergerac. Right, when somebody else. He wrote the words and the other guy recited them. Yeah.
Well, it's so cute.
Yeah.
I mean, they all do a great job, and you just have to check it out.
Interesting.
But nobody dies.
Well, there you go. There's a concept.
That's a plot twist. Yeah.
Thanks for the call. 312-981-7200. Also, a lot of texts on this. A League of Their Own. Beaches. That was the one with Barbara Hershey. But there was a death in that. Somebody also recommends Mistress America, Bridesmaids, The Trouble with Angels. That's a favorite among Catholic girls everywhere. And somebody says The Postcard. So we'll be back after this.